Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Man, we are in the middle of the high school basketball season.
Yes, it is.
Pretty much.
We're in a roller coaster of it, I would call it.
The roller coaster of it?
Yes, the roller coaster of it.
Yeah, and as I look at the boys and girls at Muskegon, they are just starting to get into a groove, man.
I call it hitting on all cylinders.
Hitting on all, I got that.
Yeah, they hitting.
Yeah, man, and the girls, you know, they struggled out of the gate too.
Yes,
right?
They did. Yes,
a couple
did.
Losses, but as they're moving through this conference, man, they're making people pay.
Making them pay. Pay, I don't even know if pay is the price, Tony. That's
and you know what disturbs me the most, man, is like last night we had Shores at Redmond Potter, and then they got the girls out at Shores.
Yeah, how they do that?
It's the state of Michigan, man, making a schedule like that.
Separately, we missed a lot of money at the gate then.
Yeah, we got two dates yet for the rest of the year where we got the boys and the girls play on the same night at home.
They must don't realize, see, you know what they're doing, Tony? They think our basketball is mediocre. They think like, oh, the girls gonna need some fans. If our girls and boys play together, everybody in the city coming.
Title
the
nine.
Whole city coming.
Title IX, man.
Yeah, Title IX. They messed that one up. When you got our sports programs is, like you look at the football program, you look at the girls, you look at the boys, you're like, oh, I can see Keith Guy, I can see Rodney Walker's team in the same night.
Yeah.
And they got all these premier players on the court.
Season used to be staggered.
Yeah.
Right? They had their own season. All right? So people could watch the boys, now I can go watch the girls. Now you got to look at your schedule.
And say, can I?
Where you want to go?
And then, if you're a big family like we was back in the day, like I know the Day family, I got a lot of love for them. I'm related to them. I'm like, we had about five of them on our team, and it was like four girls on the other team.
Right.
So think about their mama and their cousins. It's like, look, we got to go see our son and our daughters and our nieces.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they would have did last night.
Yeah. No, disappointed in that, man. Disappointed in the fact that they changed the schedule to the point where it's really, you know, not good for the players, in my opinion. Because, I would have liked to have gone out and watched the girls play because they smashed Mona Shores.
Yeah. 72-76. No, 72-22.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And that's basically been their margin of victory as they march through the this conference about 50 points a game.
It has been 50 plus. I've been critical because I can't coach right now. So I'm just watching. But like you said, it has been smash mouth basketball.
Man, they've been putting it on them, man.
But you know what it is, though? I think it's like we're used to a certain kind of paradigm in our mindset.
Uh-huh.
So like when a team comes out mediocre, we're not saying that you're mediocre.
Right.
We're not saying that you're not a good team. It's just that with our athletic department and how they let us schedule our games, our girls has been in the March Madness in January and December. They put themselves in the first four games was like, here go March Madness.
That's it. That's right. We got it early. We got it early.
And it was no blowouts. It was all close games.
Very close games. So it's going to be very interesting down the stretch. Boys, finally, you know, Oak Park, the Mayweather Classic, they finally played the kind of basketball that they are capable of playing and put a whooping, because, you know, we got to see Oak Park in the classic here.
Yes, we did.
When Keith had his
And they
classic.
Weren't that bad.
No, they only got beat. I think they got beat by 3 points, four points.
A buzzer beater or something, a last second shot, I think, almost. Yeah.
Right. And we put a running clock on them, which is a 40-point lead in basketball. When you get 40-point lead in basketball, it's almost like football. There is a running clock.
Yeah.
And they just they by far was the best team at the Mayweather Classic. Okay, and things are only going to get better because they are at full strength now.
If they added Jarvis and they added the other boy that played football.
Yeah.
They transferred over too, so they're at full tilt right now.
Yeah, they were up by 40 last night, wound up winning by 30, and they're on the road. They're going to be in Belleville.
Ooh, that's good, the Belleville Tigers.
Yeah.
They got a couple D1 prospects too.
That's what
I
hear.
Keith Guy, he going to get the game.
Okay. So
you ain't ready to play. You be out there like, I don't want to play for Muskegon.
February is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Getting ready for that second season. And, If you happen to beat the Big Reds early, you don't want to see them in the month of February and March. That's all I can tell you.
It's coming. Yep. I would like to see that Reese Puffer game when they play them again. Oh, that's going to be good.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will definitely want to be at that game and plan to, because the outcome is going to be totally different. Trust me. Don't miss that game.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah. And, you know, before we move on, we got to talk about the girls.
Oh, yes.
Got some awards already.
Yep, we got Eliza Winston and Dynasty Dial nominated McDonald's All-Americans. Nominated. So nominated means that you play into the respective game because they only have, I think, 24 slots.
Yeah.
And it's almost like 800 girls selected. But that means, if you're talking about, think about high school basketball. You got more than, 800 girls in this city playing.
When you go across the county, yeah.
Yeah, so we're talking about across the nation, 800 names pool, and say you one of the best 800 in the country. So we got two girls on the same team that's got nominated for something like that. So, you just don't do that and say, can I go to McDonald's and get a McDonald's All-American nomination?
Don't happen like that.
Can I buy one of these and get a little certificate? You don't get it like that. You put in the blood, sweat, and tears, the AAU, the workouts, all the stuff that those kids been doing. Kudos off to them and to the athletic department of Muskegon for getting those ladies to that space and place with the coaching staff and everything.
Yeah, that's great, man, because I think the only other player that we did have was Deontay Davis that participated
in the actual game.
Because
I know Merdrika got a piece of paper, too. She got nominated. And I think D'Thora got nominated, too.
Yeah, he got nominated, which is a huge accolade.
Yes, it is.
For the fact that you even get recognized to get to that point.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's awesome.
But then we got back to the football players. They had Jim Harbaugh the other day.
Yeah, he showed up last night.
Which I would have. If I was there, I would have backhanded him. Sorry, just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I ain't impressed.
You already know I'm a Spartan by heart, so I wouldn't even been by him. But I seen some people, Tony, that was running to Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant.
Okay.
Was ready to run to Jim Harbaugh. I said, I'm disowning them as Spartans forever.
Okay.
For life. Don't never walk to the other side.
No, there were quite a few folks that came up. Because, last week we had a coach from Northwestern up.
I saw him.
But he was an assistant coach. Right?
Yes, sir.
So I guess word got back that they've been sniffing around Repping Potter Gym, and they said, let's make our presence known. So he had his offensive coordinator with him, and, they became a distraction, if you will.
Yes, it did.
But I think the storyline is that, we showed up in the midst of a snowstorm to watch you play because that's how bad we want you to come and spend the next 4 or 5 years at the University of Michigan.
And it was a blizzard last night. It was.
Yeah, so that means a lot because I don't think I would have got on the road. I don't think so. I've been out there before, see, I know.
Me either. I wanted to go see some kids. I wanted to go see, some kids play. I know D-Thorough and them Ferris play against Parkside.
The weather's
too bad. Yeah, I was like, the weather's too bad.
Okay.
So when I seen Harbaugh last night, I was like, he dead. Cause I know he didn't fly no plane from Atlanta.
No, they drove. Yeah, they left probably about a minute to go in the game. They parked out by the J building. The police walked them out, of course. I don't know why. But anyway, they walked them out to their car and got them set up, and they took on off. So, that's what this recruiting thing is, man. You got to show kids that you're willing to do what others aren't willing to do in order to prove that you are worthy of their services for the next 4 to 5 years.
Because if not, we will snatch them. Spartans will snatch what he
wants. Oh, it's dog eat dog, man. One slip up. Because I heard D'Antonio had planned to attend.
Oh, D'Antonio got a house down here. So yeah. D'Antonio will.
Summer home, though.
Yeah, he'll have him over at his crib. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's a summer home. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. But his folks are good people. They're going to be well-grounded. This process is not going to intimidate them. They're going to do their due diligence as far as what's best for Cameron. And I'm absolutely positive that the choice that they make is going to be in the best interest of Cameron Martinez.
Yes, I think he deserves all of it, everything he's getting. It's a blessing to be in that seat and everything. So,
yes, it is. Yep. Yes, it is. So we'll see. We'll keep you posted.
Yep.
And
football coming up.
Super Bowl is set.
Yeah, Super Bowl.
And
how is it set though? When the Los Angeles Rams did that to the
Yeah, they got jobs.
Yeah, but the Saints still had opportunity to win the game.
Yes, they
and Drew Brees threw the ball away, so I'm not gonna even say that. So it just happened. My team not there. I'm not even gonna say what I was. I'm a Lions forever. I'm stuck. Well, so I'm never getting out the parking lot.
You may not ever get to a Super Bowl as a Lions fan, but but as far as pure entertainment, and I've always said the NFC and the AFC championship games have always been better than the Super Bowl. You couldn't ask for two better games.
Yeah.
Last Sunday. That was just some great football, man.
Back to back, man.
Yeah, overtime, both games.
Both games.
Okay.
We're not going home. Let's play.
No, they was playing, man.
Playing for that chick.
Enjoyed it. And I don't know how the Super Bowl could be better. I really don't. Okay. And a lot of criticism lately has been that the fact that Mahomes for Kansas City didn't get another opportunity to get on the field because the overtime rule is first team that scores a touchdown wins the game.
That's it.
So you don't get a shot.
It's not college.
No. No, but if you kick a field goal, then the other team gets an opportunity.
Okay? But if you score, that means you march down the whole field.
Game over.
So then when you look at it like this, okay, you kick it to me. These are all pros.
Yeah.
So that means you can boot it back to the end zone, and I got to tote it all the way back in about a two-minute period, right?
Well, you got 15 minutes. It's a whole thing. They set up 15 minutes.
Yeah,
for you to play, provided nobody scored, it would have went to another sudden death.
But
overtime.
You know what it really is. It's 2 minute drill, right?
Basically,
you're like, look, we got to get out of here. We gonna play the whole game.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, put the 2 minute drill in. Let's get down this field. Let's see if we can get a touchdown or a field goal. If we get if we get past the 40, we in a touchdown range. They got past the 40. Oh, it's time to punch it in.
It's time to go, man.
Yep. So you can't.
So therefore, the most important part of overtime is the coin flip.
Yep. And how you decide after that.
Okay. Right? Oh, there is. They in overtime, you take the ball. You don't defer in overtime. That's a mute point. Because if you score, game over. So if you win that coin flip in overtime, that particular event basically dictates the outcome of the game.
Yeah, you're right. If you got a decent enough offense to get it down the field, you're exactly right.
Yeah, so whether or not, you know, there's a couple of things that happened out of that playoff weekend. They talked about that, the coin flip. They talked about the hit that didn't get called.
That's right.
The rules committee says we're going to review that in their upcoming meetings in the offseason because it was such a flagrant call that referees should have a time to go and review it. Okay, though technically penalties are not reviewable. You don't review penalties. But in that case, they said they should have done that because whether or not it affected the outcome of the game, I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it did. But it was truly a foul.
Wow.
There was a penalty. And it did not get called. So Vegas gave everybody back their money that bet on the Saints to win the game.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they gave the money back. Because when they first reported it, they thought the people in the stadium got their money back. But no, the truth of the story is those folks in Vegas and all the sporting betting books that bet on New Orleans, they got their money back.
So it's an asterisk by this game.
Could be.
Wow. So that's billions of dollars got shifted.
Yeah, because they really realized that. You know, it's kind of hard to say you guys lost on the fact that they didn't make the call. Man. Ultimately, it could have still eventually been a loss.
It could have been.
We don't know.
But the penalty was so obvious. It was like little league football. You're like, man, you pulling that kid for the whole game.
Yeah. And the receiver, the defender said, I was beat. I had one play to make.
And I did what I supposed to do.
And I did it.
I penalized myself.
I put that in the hands of the referee.
That's it. He did what he supposed to do.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you teach. You two do teach that.
Yeah. And if you're getting beat.
DB cornerbacks, he's like, look, you ain't going to beat me on a deep ball, so I'm going to get a penalty
You won't score a touchdown.
You'll get some yards.
Right.
But I'm going to knock your clock off. That's what he did. See, that's how he looked at it. He was like, boom, go to call it. He looked like, call it.
Right.
What? They didn't call nothing?
They didn't call it.
I'm good out here. Yep. So he's got it. He got it. Man, so that's rough.
Interesting. Very interesting.
But look, speaking of that play, I seen a Facebook meme or something, and it was like it had Donald Trump as if he was the Los Angeles Rams player. And then he had the Saints, and this is not funny speaking at all, but it had like the Saints was like a federal worker.
Uh-huh.
And it was like they threw a check at him, and Donald Trump hit him. And I was like, oh, that's terrible.
Facebook. Yeah.
You know, because he's like, he's cutting off the check. Like,
right.
He check coming.
Heartless. Heartless.
Yeah, Trump come out of nowhere. Boom. Nope. Shaking his head. I said, oh.
I didn't see that.
I said, that's terrible. But then, look, it's a Pelosi, she's been in the news everywhere, says that the House will not pass a resolution for the State of the Union until the government is reported.
You know.
So she's like, you can't talk on the mic till you let us go back to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, you have to agree with that, right? I don't care what side of the political spectrum that you're on, all right? Right now, we're dealing with people that have basically dedicated their lives to the federal government.
It's okay? Like teaching.
Taking
this
oath
like
to do whatever it is as a TSA worker, working in the Food and Drug Administration, working for the IRS.
You don't make a lot of money.
No.
You don't make a lot of money doing this.
No, they're, you know, you make a decent living, but a lot of those folks are living paycheck to paycheck, right?
Yes, they are.
And because of this promise of this wall, you are putting hardship on all these other people, right? We talked about that.
Yes, sir.
And they showed a clip of Obama when they had to shut down under his administration.
17 days, is it?
Yeah, and his was such a plea of
healthcare.
Let's get together and solve this.
Yeah,
okay.
Let me look at my plan again.
Yeah.
All 400 and some pages. Look at my plan again.
Let's not hold these people hostage. Let's not balance this on the backs of these people that are working, trying to provide for their
families. But you can't do that with the wall. Like, Obama had a document that was like 400 and some pages, right? And he was like, look, here goes this document, or 4,000, whatever. I know it was big. And he said, what parts y'all want me to omit? What parts y'all want me to keep? Now, he can't do that with the wall, Tony.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what section of the wall you want? What section of the wall you don't? Either I'm going to get the wall, or we all going to be out of here.
And see, the Democrats are saying, okay, the wall is not the answer. The answer is we need better border security. So monies that appropriated says that we need to look at technology. What are we doing for technology? What we can do so we don't have to build this wall. They had a person on this morning when talking about the amount of illegal drugs that comes into this country. They all come through ports of entry.
They don't come through no wall.
Rarely the supply, the large supply, comes over the wall
or
over
border.
The border.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a percentage of it that does.
That's dangerous to come up to the border anyway.
Yeah. But the thing is that if we want border security, it doesn't have to be a wall. The compromise is, let's talk about border security, get this country back to work.
Yes, sir.
And we'll figure it out. But this wall is what everything is hung up on. Okay? The wall is not what we need, man. Yeah. Border security is what we need.
I was talking to someone the other day. You guys are probably like on the, at home, like, why are they talking about the wall? Let me share something with you.
It's economics, man.
If I was having a meeting with some guys, I guess I call it my mastermind group. They're in New Jersey, right? And we do stuff together. And one of my affiliates was telling me, he's like, Chauncey, he say, and he was asking me, what things should I be advertising right now? He was like, don't advertise credit repair. Don't advertise student loan debt. He said, advertise credit cards. I was like, why? He said, because you get all the federal workers, they're not working.
Nope.
And what they're doing is they're waiting on a check. And see, while they wait on a check, they are financing their house bills with credit cards. And I was like, what you mean? He said, I was at a meeting the other day, and he said, one of my partners, he said he missed a paycheck. He done missed one or two paychecks right now. His household is behind 30 grand. Now, we talking about people that are making like almost $400,000, $500,000 a year, right?
Yeah, there's some government contractors.
Yeah.
They do.
So you miss a month, you miss 50 G's. So he said he's putting $50,000 on his credit card. And I was like, wow. And I thought, and I was like, making that much money, you can in 2 months, you could be behind $100,000 in your household. Because you're talking about either a $10,000 mortgage, right, a month. Then you got a nice vehicle. You got private school for your kids. So you got a $50,000 a month that you can't make.
Okay.
And if you're a private contractor audience.
Yeah, and you got other employees.
That money don't come back, Tony. Like,
no.
when you miss the time, because I've done private contract work, when you do a job and they got you slated to do that job at that time, if it don't happen, you don't get paid at all. That time has to expire on that money.
There's no back pay coming.
Yep, there's nothing.
Nope. You know what else is a caveat to this government shutdown? The payday loans in this country.
Yep, cash advances.
Cash advances in the stock market. Their stocks have gone up 20-30% over the last couple of weeks.
Yes, they have.
Why? Because this is where people, they don't want to, but that's where they're forced to go to.
And they're using their credit cards right now.
They just pay their loans and these credit cards.
I've been watching, and because some of my stocks are increasing. I think I had like a percentage, like a 5 to 6% raise in some of my stuff. I'm looking like, hold on, it's a government shutdown, but people using their credit cards.
Yep.
So they buying stuff, so the dip hasn't came yet. It's going up right now. So people spending. They spending, and it's creating this bubble.
That's right.
That's going to be a real letdown, because when he told me that, I was like, I think it was like Monday night or something. He said, if I miss one or two paychecks, I miss two paychecks in a month, Chauncey, I'm missing $50,000. And I was like, how? And he broke down his finance to me, because I'm like, he's over what I'm making. I'm not.
Okay, yeah. He's in a whole different.
He's six figures and beyond right now.
Right.
You know, he's $500,000, $1 million. And he said, we at this meeting. He said, it's not only me.
Okay.
He said, if I miss a month, 40 to 50 G's. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, this thing, man, is turning out to be a lot more devastating to individuals as well as the economy than anybody ever guessed.
That's right. And okay. Then even with the food coupons, like EBT cards.
They're about to expire.
They gave them double coupons. So, like, I think
February, March. February.
I sent my wife to the meat store around here, right? She said, they didn't have it. I'm like, what you mean? Like, it's gone. Everybody was buying meat. They were just buying it up.
Because they know next month they won't get one. They won't get no EBT stipend for next month if this government don't get fixed.
So you got
no food.
You're going to be having grits and chicken wings and whatever you could mix with it. String beans.
Yeah. TSA workers, man, trying to travel, get to work with no paycheck. Some are calling off sick. They spiked at 10, 11%. The wait at the airports, I've gotten to be ridiculous. You know, it just doesn't make sense in this day and age that we have to treat people like this. There's got to be a provision to get these folks back to work so they can take care of their families, man, and not have this wall hang up.
It's looking bad. That guy told me that the other day, I say, man, what I got today, and he's like, hold on. What I got today, it says, reboot your career. If you could push the restart button on your career, what would you do? So you probably like somebody that's working in federal government right now on money that's saying, all right, the government got me. They're going to take care of me. How can you reboot your career? So what I've been researching, and I've seen several people, Tony, they started their own business. People that work in the government right now, they had a side business.
That has been one of the issues that came up, that a lot of folks have left that government job and looking for other work. And chances are they won't come back, especially if you only got 2 to 3 years. I don't have a lot of time invested in this job. So you're absolutely right. It's very timely.
Yep. So then when I looked at it and I said, I thought about myself. I'm like, being an educator, our income always fluctuates. One year we get a raise, one year we don't. One year this be a bonus would be a male teacher. One year they like, oh, we taking that away. So I say, what I had to do? So I was like, I started my own business. And okay. I said, let me figure out if they pay my loans off or if they do this. So I started looking strategically for areas where I could see a bonus or a raise. So today it said, how to get a raise. So you're like, man, y'all talking about the government being shut down, but still how to get a raise when you're in an environment. Because I always look at it like this, and I always talk about scripture. Your gift will make room for you.
All right.
You can't look at the conditions of the world. You got a gift that you already have that God has gave to you that will give you plenty. So you like looking at, hey, my gift will make room for me wherever I'm at. So we got some tidbits on how to get a raise. You're like, hold on, this is a government shutdown. But your gift is good enough to probably be a sign to you. Say, look, I got to leave this market and go here because I'm tired of this runaround. I seen a video the other day. I was on TV or somewhere, and it was people say, how many shutdowns have you been through? A guy was like, I've been through 4 in my career.
Okay.
And he still was in line getting rations.
Wow.
And I was like, man, you still in the cycle of getting rations still? And you've been in there 4 times?
Could never get ahead of the game.
Yep. There was another lady who was like, it's like, I've been without a check about 2 months before or 3 months. She said, it's hard. And I'm looking like, man, these are people that got families back home. So let's talk about just how to get a raise, Tony. That's what we got to them today. Some pointers.
How to get a raise. Know your wealth. Your worth, rather.
Yep. Know your worth. So going in a situation and just being able to say, just research other people's roles and what they're making, especially with your skill set and your experience and your level of education. So being able to look at LinkedIn salary, Glassdoor, and PayScale, knowing your worth, like what you bring to the table, do you do more than what you possibly get paid for? If you could just say, on average, this person, what I do with the same education, they make this much. So mm-hmm. how much value are you bringing to your current situation? That's how I look at that, knowing your worth. Like, look, I know I'm doing much more, and I can do more.
Absolutely.
So that's one of them. Another one was, it says, raise your profile. So your profile is being able to say, how do you look on paper? Like, if you had to dress your part, you want it. But it's important to behave beyond the pay grade you want. It's kind of what I talked about previously. They're saying that getting more, doing more than what you get paid for. But I look at it as almost as like when you see the next stage of your career, your life, and you're like, man, it's like a good job for me. But I don't think they're hiring me. Could I possibly probate it?
Okay.
Say I come in and do this job for a month or 2 months, and then you rate me on it.
Right.
Or I shadow you on it, and let's see what kind of candidate I could possibly be in a 90-day period. Well, you don't have to pay me anything. Okay. Who would take on to that?
Nobody, man. Nobody going to do that in this day and age.
Nobody. Unless you're working in insurance or finances. Like, look, I could bring in this many clients in. Car salesmen, things like that. You probably could.
Oh, yeah. That's not uncommon in that industry because you don't have a base to work with. Okay, and a lot of folks are uncomfortable.
Without a base.
Without coming in with a base.
But they say that's the best way to live, without a base, because nobody can control your earning potential.
Yeah.
They can't say, oh, he was the best salesman 12 months in a row. How can we stop him from being the best salesman? You can't.
I'm going to be, man, that happened to me. I don't know if I ever told you this
story. Yeah, you told me when you was working on the calls. Yeah.
I was in Detroit, man. And same thing, man. When we think of Detroit, we think that, you know, African Americans was prominent throughout the industries in Detroit, but that's not true. I went into an industry where there were no blacks, right?
Oh, you was collection calling.
And the owner told me, he said, we don't have any blacks. But at this particular time, what they call an account executive, where I went out to the businesses and talked to those people to get them to give us their business to get in for those calls, right? And I actually had a woman tell me, this is the honest God truth. When I showed up at her office and she said, I'm going to be honest with you. If I had known you were black, I wouldn't have made this appointment. She said, I thought you was white over the telephone, right?
Wow.
And it's ironic is that it turned out that I developed a good relationship with this lady, okay? Just through me having the background that I had is not to, you know, feel like, that form of racism was going to affect me on how I did my job. But those two incidents actually happened to me.
Man.
So I understand about this making yourself indispensable because, of course, I went on and I outperformed everybody that was in the office. All right.
Yep. Man, and Tony, you say that, and I was talking to somebody the other day that I worked with a couple years ago, and I'm working with them right now. And they said it was at their job, right? And I helped them buy their own home, right? And they got a better job. And somebody was saying they was talking to someone that's married. And they say, man, I'm trying to get a house and my credit's bad and everything. And she was like, so young lady, she say, contact him, Chauncey. He's a website. He can help you, right? So he didn't see my face anything. And he said they in the office, and he pulled my face up. And he looked and paused, and he never contacted me. And she said, I told him like about 4 or 5 times that you helped me get my house. So he done been on my house with his family and everything.
Mm.
And he said, when he seen your picture, he didn't go no further.
Okay.
So like you just said, like you said, when they find out you a certain race, it's hard. But all my advertisement got my face on it.
And that's where mine is.
Yeah, so I'm me.
It's going to be that way.
That's right.
As long as I'm in this industry. I'm not changing, all right?
Yes.
I got some stories to tell you about what you can do when you are yourself, okay?
Raise your profile. That's what
they
say.
Raise your profile.
That's what we're talking about right
now.
That's
right. I tell you all the time, be yourself because everybody else is spoken for.
That's right. I can't walk around here pretending.
No.
Yep. I'm going to have my face and say, peekaboo, I helped you. No, right. That's not going to be me. You're going to see the face, and you're going to see it because when you live the testimony, I got to raise my profile up because we talking. The next thing it says, talk numbers. So when it comes to time to actual conversations, be sure to bring some metrics-driven examples of your accomplishments.
Specifics.
Yep. So your gift attached to performance. Like, I'm saving the company money
right.
because I do A, B, and C.
Yeah. This is the average. This is what everybody else does in this particular department or segment of the business. But here are, there's my numbers. My numbers are above average.
That's right.
So therefore, I should be compensated accordingly above average.
And it say like one thing to always nod to the future. It says talk about where you see yourself contributing and developing in the coming year based on your goals of the department and firm. Right. But also avoid doing this. I've been here 10 years. Why I ain't no raise?
Right. Well,
you go to church with me, you should be.
Probably a reason why. Probably doing the same thing you was 10 years
That's
ago.
Right. So you always have to look and take in consideration in your thoughts and your mind that you want to be able to get a raise. For one, if you're in a field like, say, federal government where they're not just giving out raises and it's not based on performance, it's probably based on tenure or something,
yeah.
You probably feel like start a side business, especially at this shutdown time. It's opportunities been coming to you, and you getting frustrated. You're like, I'm going to work every day, and they're not giving me no money. And you're like, hold on. They're not giving me no money. I'm going to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting in 40 hours. They're not giving me no money. I'm going to work every day. I'm using up all my sick time. I'm using up my vacation time. But they're not paying me. But you putting the effort together to go to work every day. Imagine you just take out of that extra time you're doing at that job, take out 2 hours.
Yeah, find out what qualifications other jobs have that you don't have and get those qualifications or certificates or possibly those degrees in order for you to qualify to get that additional raise or and promotions.
Yes, that is. So we're going to continue this because we're talking about pushing the reset button on our career, but I got some scripture to share, and I think it really fits this when I was sitting down studying, and it said, trust God with the least good for nothing. And it says, for biblical finances on money, it says Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. I walk by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of the one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles, like, you know, weeds.
Weeds,
you know?
Right.
Right? Them little flowers. Unkept. You're like, ooh, those. I don't want those little flowers. Get rid of them.
Daffodils, yep. Whatever they call them.
It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then, as I looked and I thought about it, I learned this valuable lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. So basically, you got to look at events and trials and tribulations as a way to say, hey, I'm through being content, being complacent. Let me shake my gift up and let it produce something else so I can get out of this slumber and stop being so asleep that the government going to take care of me because the government giving me, I've been living check to check anyway.
Okay.
So why not produce something and say, my gift has made room for me, and now I'm into a point of going to the abundance, not a paycheck. And say, hey, this is here. Where this money come from? Oh, that's what you did last week. This is the phone call you made or these people that you helped. Here's this source of money. Because I've been in that situation. I've been off work for some time, and I've been able to sustain off my conversation. And I'm sitting at home in the bed hurt some days when I first got injured. To trying to get into work to go in, but it's all through what I created. The pictures you see with me on my face on it and the phone number will have sustained me, but that's been going on for like 10 to 15 years. But I always had employment. But when my employment ended, the systems that were set up to compensate me, like insurance and all that, they waited me out months. And they owed me. But when they owed me, I had something else to support me. I didn't stand no slumber and say, please give me the handout. I created something years ago because I was like, it's not going to happen to me. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.